probably would do that. I think it's never over here. I think more than 60.
It's all lit up.
No, I want you to look at it.
I'm getting ready to.
Tell me what you thought of it. Tell me what you thought
of it. I will lose it. I'll have to fill it up. I'll have to
fill it up. You're going to come up with some size. All right.
I put it back on the standard. I guess it's in the office.
All baseball size. I told him I thought was something bigger than that.
Those list of names, I signed it by the secretary of the U.S. And that was right. And really, I was
there. I could cover that.
So I am to, and I am to pair off eight of those.
I don't know how she's planning. Oh, yeah, You're doing one for each person? One card for each person?
Yes, it was eight cards. And they, the same one indicated that they.
Yeah, they're all they were in the Right, just the first one,
Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Our first song selection that we will sing this evening, song titled God is So Good. This is song 853 for anyone that's following along in our hymnals. God is So Good, song 853. Song that we will sing before opening prayer this evening. Father, I adore you. This is song 850 in our hymnals. Father, I adore you, song 850. We'll sing this song and then we'll be led in our opening prayer.
It's an honor once again this evening to be able to come together in the house to worship. We pray, Father, we'll always have this opportunity. It's such a pleasure, not only an obligation, but it's a pleasure, Father. Bless those that's not able to be here, those that's been many years that's not able to come. Bless and comfort them some way, Father, that they will always feel wanted as we call and talk to them, have prayer with them. We pray, Father, you bless this great country we live in. Always have the freedom we have and the opportunity to go about doing the things that we normally do without the fear of being molested on mankind. We pray, Father, for all rulers throughout the world that they might work together for peace and harmony. We pray for those that's suffering from the cold weather and other obstacles in this world. Give them comfort, Father, that someday the peace might come. We pray that you bless Doug tonight as he breaks the bread of life. Be with us, Father, as we go through another week. Pray your best to teachers and the students and the bus drivers, Father, as they go about their activities. Just bless them, protect them going to school while they're there and back home again. We pray for those girls that are away in college. That you give them protection, Father, and watch over them. Be with us. Give us a good week, Father, and bring us back Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock and forgive our sins, Father, and let us always live closer to you in this world and do what you want us to do. In the name of Christ, amen.
Amen.
Our next song selection this evening, song titled Heaven Came Down. This is song 822. If you're following in our hymnals, Heaven Came Down, song 822.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day, day I will never forget. After I've wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend, He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I'm telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Born of a spirit with life from above, into God's family divine. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came. Took of the offer of grace He did proffer, He saved me, oh, praise His dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Now I've a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe. Riches eternal and blessings supernal from His precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement, that song that we will sing after this evening's lesson, 674. There's a great day coming. Song number 674, there's a great day coming. That's an encouragement hymn for later this evening. Once you have that hymn marked, the song that we will sing prior to this evening's lesson, Redeemed, song 544 on our hymnals. Redeemed, 544.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through His infinite mercy, His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am.
We have wish lists for a lot of different things in life about what we want and what we want to go. Sometimes people call it bucket lists and things like that. But in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21, I think we have a really good list for us as Christians, for a wish list of what we want to be and what we want to become in Jesus Christ. In verse 14, it starts this way. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Well, God wants, I think the things that we see through the passage in this text here, and really through a lot of Ephesians, is that what God wants for us, is that he wants us to recognize who he is and how we relate to him and what he has for us, that he would grant to us according to the riches of his glory. And now, you'll notice, I'll just kind of lay out how the layout is going to be for tonight. Like in this text, it has verse, you have 14 and so on. That's going to be in Ephesians. And then I'm going to often have, most of the time, have another scripture that goes along with this thought. And so that will be like this. It'll be different. And so when it says verse 15 or 17 or whatever it might be, then you can see that I've gone back to Ephesians again. This is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's just flip back here for a moment. What is he saying to us here? That God would grant to us that we would have the riches of his glory. What is that riches? It's that he says this here, tells us here in Colossians, that it's Christ in you. So the riches, one of the great riches that God has for us and planned for us, designed for us, is that we would have Christ in ourselves. And now we know that when we become Christians, that we're baptized into Christ and that we live in him and he lives in us. But sometimes we want to be able to, through all this text that we're looking at tonight, to be able to grasp, to be able to hold on to be able to comprehend what God has for us. And that mystery that God has for us, the riches of his glory, is Christ in us. That's the greatest blessing that we could have. Then in verse 17 of Ephesians, to be strengthened with the power of through his Spirit in the inner man. Well, we sang tonight, you know, about loving God, loving Jesus, and loving the Spirit. I think sometimes we leave out the Holy Spirit and don't let it be as much a part of it. But for God, it's the power of his Spirit. Now, I think one of the things, too, that's important for us to understand, when the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit, it's God's Spirit. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit. Just like the Word of God, Word of Christ, before Christ came, the Word of God was Jesus Christ, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So we are strengthened with the power through God's Spirit in us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So according to his glorious power, we're going to see this idea over and over as we look at our text tonight about the power of God dwelling in us. And we think about the power of God, we think about all that God can do, all that God has done in creation and everything like that, but also all that God did through Jesus Christ when he was here, all the miracles that he performed. But we need to realize that maybe not miraculously, but God wants his power to dwell in us and to be a part with us and be one with us. This is our inheritance, as the last phrase of that passage says, that this is the inheritance that we have as his saints in the light. As we go on in this text, then, in Ephesians chapter verse 17, there's several thoughts here in verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. How does Christ dwell in us? According to this, he dwells in our hearts through our faith. Now, this morning, we talked about walking by faith and not by sight. That faith always includes obedience. Well, here we see that Christ dwells in us as we believe in him, as we put our faith in him, as we trust in him. Now, it's not that he doesn't dwell in us,
But we open up our hearts and our lives more to Him when we allow Him and allow the power of God to work in us through faith. And remember how much, what can move a mountain? Just faith is a grain of mustard seed. So we think that I don't have enough faith. Well, if we have faith in God and we trust Him and we walk with Him, then we can see that He dwells in us through faith. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 speaks to this as well. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Now, that's God's Spirit, right? God raised Jesus from the dead. And that same Spirit, that same power, if you will, dwells in us. I want us to comprehend this. I want us to be able to grasp this. And I think it's something that we've got to work at. I have to work at it. I want to know completely what God has for me and for you. What does it mean for God to dwell, God's Spirit to dwell in us? What does it mean for His power to dwell in us? Well, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will give life to our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Well, we know that the Spirit of God comes and dwells in us when we become Christians. When we're baptized into Christ, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Bible also says that we can feed that Spirit, or we can allow it to grow in us, or the Bible also says we can quench it or put it out by not walking with Him, not being faithful, not trusting in Him, not relying upon Him. And so, but if we allow God's power to work in us, and God wants to work in us, He wants His power to work in us and through us. He'll give us life through His mortal body and put our in our mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in us. Now it's there. As Christians, God promises that His Spirit is in us. Now how much are we going to allow it to work in us? That's the key here. Going on and continuing in verse 17 in Ephesians, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. I want to read the next passage and then we'll come back and talk about this a little more. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That we being rooted in Him, grounded in Him. I've never replanted a tree, but I've seen it done. You know how they go out and they dig out really deep and they take the whole root system and everything and they take that tree and they dig a hole and they put all that tree and all its roots in there and replant it and it grows. I think that's pretty amazing. I'm sure that you have probably seen pictures of trees with their roots in rock. It's like, how in the world would it go? But that it goes down deep into not only the soil but into the rock and anchors itself deep down. And we know that there are trees also about roots, as far as we're talking about this, that if a big storm comes in, these great big trees, you think they're solid, you know, strong, but they're not rooted. They don't have deep roots. And so what happens to them? They get blown over. They get destroyed. Well, God wants His love, His power, His faith to be rooted deep in us through love. The more that we love, the deeper the roots go. And we not be disappointed because He's poured out His love into our hearts. Again, through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 18, that it may be able to comprehend, that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. This verse has always struck me as a very challenging verse. That I would be able to comprehend all of God. With all the saints. Comprehend with everybody, that's us, that we can comprehend all that is God, the height, or the breadth, the length, the height, the depth. I don't think we're going to get there, not completely anyway, until we're with God, that we're not going to reach that point where we have all of this comprehension, but God wants us to. This is something He wants us to know Him, and I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. You know that song, right? That's also a scripture, isn't it? I want to know this. Ephesians chapter 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. There we see the power of God again. God wants us to understand him. God wants us to know him. He wants us to be enlightened by him. Enlightened in what way? Well, there's times, so many times in our life that sometimes we just like, what do I need to do? How can I do this? How can I live? How can I get through this problem or solve this solution, find a solution for what we're looking for? Well, that way is through God. That way is opening up our hearts to him. Because his inheritance, look what it says, the last part of verse 18. The glory of his inheritance in the saints. That's us again. The inheritance that we have as his saints. What is the exceedingly great power toward all who believe according to the working of his mighty power. God's power wants to work in us. We have to open up and let it. Let God's power to work in our hearts, to work by faith, to trust and rely upon him. Verse 19 in Ephesians, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that Christ loves you? You know, we say, yeah, I do. I think all of us would say, yes, I know that Christ loves us. How much do you know how much it is, though? It surpasses knowledge. Again, it's so much more than all. Well, we're going to see that. I'm not going to cheat ahead and get that verse here in a minute. But God's love for us is great. It's so great. And to be loved is one of the most important things in the world. When your children or your grandchildren or your spouse, you know, or a dear friend says, I love you. And you know that they're sincere. You know that it's real. And it means so much to be loved. To know that God loves us. And it surpasses all that we can really know what real love is all about. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ compels us. Now remember, that's what he just said here. It compels us that we can know this. Because we judge thus, that if one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. What does it compel us to do? It compels us, of course, to know what he did, how he died and rose again for us. But it also compels us that we should no longer live for ourselves. That what I do and why I live and where I go depends on him. In him we died, because why? But for him who died for them and rose again. That's why we don't live for ourselves, but we live for Jesus. Because of what Jesus Christ has done and is doing in our lives today. That we would be filled, that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. Here comes another one of those magnificent verses. The idea that we would be filled to the fullness of God. It's like, just like, okay, you've seen pictures probably in movies, and it's like, fill me up, you know? Like that, just open yourself up to God. And I'm not necessarily spreading your arms wide and that kind of stuff, but I want to be filled with God. Don't you?
Yes.
The more that we're filled with God, the better we live in this life. The more that we get through the trials and the struggles of life, because God, we're filling our lives with him. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He's talking about Jesus Christ here. And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. So all the fullness of God dwells in Christ. We've been talking about how Christ lives in us, dwells in us through his love. And we are complete in him because he lives in us. He is the head of everything, of all power. And he's come to be with us. And then in verse 20, one of the verses that, and this Ephesians passage, of course, they all go together and flow together. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. How much is God able to do? There's no limit to what God can do, is there? No limit. Why do we limit God ourselves? Why do we put a limit on God? We might pray, we might think that, well, I can pray about this, but that's too big for me to pray about. Now, you know, we might, some people say, well, I'm too bad of a sinner. God couldn't forgive me. Could God forgive him? Jesus died on the cross so that he or she could be forgiven. And God is able to do far more abundantly. Abundance of God. Beyond all that we ask or think. Beyond all that there is to know. God is able to do that and become that for us. John chapter 10 and verse 10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." God wants us to have his abundant love, his abundant grace. Now, people sometimes try to fill in the blank and says, God wants me to be rich. He wants me to have the abundant life. We understand that, though, when we're talking about what God wants for us is not riches, but the riches of his glory, the riches of his power, the riches of his love. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 14, and it says, "The grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." What is he exceedingly abundantly with? Faith and love. You see, God has faith in us. Yes, we're to have faith in him, but God trusts us to do his will. As his saints, as his children, God trusts us to become what he wants us to be, so that we can have the love which are in Christ Jesus, and we can share that with the world. And then he finishes, "according to the power that works within us." Again, we come back to the power of God working within us. Why does he do that? Verse 21, "To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." God wants us to enable us so that we can be the spokesman for him, so that we can give glory to him in all that we do. The more God glorifies us and lifts us up and empowers us, it should enable us to be more powerful in our giving of thanks to God and giving him the glory and honor for all things. I hope this fulfills your wish list, does it? Does this fulfill your wish list as a Christian to have this kind of blessings and glory that God has given to each one of us? If it doesn't, I don't know what else will. Nothing else will. If we don't trust and rely upon God to truly have the wish list of eternity. So won't you come to Christ today and come to him and give him glory and let him fulfill his wish list for you. Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day
coming by and by.
When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a bright day coming, a bright day coming. There's a bright day coming by and by. But its brightness shall only come to them that love the Lord. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? There's a sad day coming, a sad day coming. There's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?
Is there anyone here this evening that did not have opportunity already today to partake of the Lord's Supper? In a moment, then, we will be dismissed with a prayer. We want to keep in mind those who are on our prayer list, those whose names start with. We'll start with the names that are listed in our bulletin. Don't end there, however. Continue on with the names that are on your list on your card that you've mentioned for the evangelism efforts. And be mindful of everybody else's card. You don't know the names necessarily that are on theirs, but God does. And if you just mentioned that in your prayers, I'm certain God knows how to bless them. Let's be committed to this effort and all that entails, and it will have great success in our congregation here in our community. Is there anything further that we need to make known to the church? If not, Brother Merriweather.
Let us all bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for another beautiful day which you have brought us to see, Father. We pray that everything that was said and done here tonight was pleasing and acceptable in thy sight. And Father, as we go our separate ways tonight, we pray that you would be with us, Father, and we pray for those of them that are both on our prayer list and in our hearts, Father. We pray that you would be with them, Father. Comfort them, Father, in their times of need, Father. Comfort all of us, Father, and be with us, Father, until we can meet here again, Father, to serve you, Father. Please be with us, Father. Help us to go the way that you would want us to go, Father, and to be the Christians that you want us to be, Father, to walk in the manner that you would have us to walk in, dear Father. Be with us all, Father. We thank you for your Son, whom you sent to die on the cross for us, Father. In his Son, in his name, Father, your Son, Jesus' name, we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Love you too. Yeah, we had Mike Conner here.
Good. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
She actually spent the night with us, and then her mom canceled this one. Maybe she'll be able to come with us next time. She was probably came to see me, but she tried to call me.